Blog Talk Radio.
Maya Angelou is the author of the best-selling I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Gather Together and My Name and the Heart of a Woman, as well as five collections of poetry and the inaugural poem On the Pulse of Morning. Today, with this episode of Storytime, I'm celebrating her work. And thank you so much for tuning in. This is LSEC Radio. And yes, I did say LSEC Radio. I celebrated my first year anniversary yesterday and have changed the name of the show from LSEC Publishing Radio to LSEC Radio as of today. And this is your host, by the way, author Teresa Banks, and it's a pleasure to be back on the air today, continuing a segment that I started a few weeks ago called Storytime. And it is in celebration of various books that I love and the authors that have written them. And today, as I opened up, as I said, I have chosen Maya Angelou. I tell you, she is truly the queen of poetry, writing, wisdom, everything. I mean, she's like a mentor to all of us, and I absolutely love the poems that she has put together. Now, before I get started in talking about Maya and her works, I want to tell you that that music I started with was by Sylvia Federick, and she is an awesome gospel singer. And the song you were listening to is called Pressure. It's from her CD, Sista Under Construction. And I highly recommend that you do as I've done and pick up a copy of her CD. You can do so online by going to her website, SylFedSang.com, and it's spelled S-Y-L, F as in Frank, E-D, S-A-N-G.com. Now let me switch back over to our queen of poetry, Maya Angelou. And I tell you, this lady, I mean, we've seen her on just about everything, including the Oprah Winfrey Show before it went off the air. And there is something that's just amazing about her. She commands attention. She has such a beautiful voice. And as I look at the particular book that I want to read from with several works of her poetry and talk about today, during the intro, as part of the credits, James Baldwin says this about her. You will hear the regal woman, the mischievous street girl. You will hear the price of a black woman's survival, and you will hear of her generosity. Black, bitter, and beautiful, she speaks of our survival. And I think that James Baldwin has truly captured, in essence, what a lot of us feel in regards to Maya. And as I said, she is truly a mentor to all. She is a wise woman, and her deep, sultry voice, it's like unmistakably her anytime that you hear her speak. And one thing that I find interesting, having been in the publishing industry for so long, is that the way that genre has been sold has changed quite a bit. I mean, back in the day, it used to be that nonfiction would sell the most, like your cookbooks or your self-help type books, and then fiction would be right behind it because we all love a good story. And then after that, last but certainly not least, would be poetry, because poetry was left so much as an interpretation to the reader as opposed to the other types of genre, that when someone picked up the words and they read them, they were trying to interpret what that author was saying as opposed to the author themselves. And the other two genres, I think you can kind of figure it out a lot of times a whole lot easier. But today, there's been truly a change in the way that poetry is sold in the publishing industry and in the world. I mean, as you see, there are more poetry slams. We see shows like Black Voices that are on television that's celebrating and talking about and relaying poetry to us. And certainly through the hip-hop generation, we see that poetry has taken on a whole new realm and a whole new meaning. And I think we have someone like Maya to thank for that. Now, in regards to her works today, I will be reading from one book in particular that I purchased of Maya years ago, and it's called The Complete Collection of Poems. Excuse me, let me start that over with the title. The title is The Complete Collected Poems of Maya Angelou, and I read to you one of the credits by James Baldwin, and now I'd love to read just a few of her poems that are in here that have really just touched me, I think, in amazing ways. The first one I'm going to read is called When I Think About Myself. And as I read these poems, I just try to imagine the spirit and the light that Maya's in when she's probably writing them. But, of course, I'm going to talk about what I think about and how they've affected my life when I read and soak in the words that she has written. And with this particular poem, and again, the title is When I Think About Myself, it says, when I think about myself, I almost laugh myself to death. My life has been one great big joke, a dance that's walked, a song that spoke. I laugh so hard I almost choke when I think about myself. 60 years in these folks' world. The child I works for calls me girl. I say yes, ma'am, for working's sake. Too proud to bend, too poor to break. I laugh until my stomach ache when I think about myself. My folks can make me split my side. I laugh so hard I nearly died. The tales they tell sound just like lying. They grow the fruit but eat the rind. I laugh until I start crying when I think about my folks. Now, I love that particular poem because, you know, there's so much that one has to endure with their life's journey. And it just makes me think about the days back in the day when Black people in particular could not do a whole lot. They were more restricted in the type of jobs that they could hold and the way that they were treated and the type of words that they had to speak back to others of respect, even though they weren't getting it themselves. And it also reminds me of a time when I would sit at a table or a desk or whatever, maybe on the floor sometimes, and listen to the old stories that my aunts would say, my Aunt Jerry and my Aunt Seal in particular, and how they would raise their children and things that they would share on how life was like back in their day and during their time. So I really love this particular poem. Another one that's within this book is called Prisoner, and it's pretty short and sweet, but it goes like this. Even sunlight dares and trembles through my bars to shimmer dances on the floor. A clang of lock and keys and heels and blood-dried guns. Even sunshine dares. It's jail and bail, then rails to run. Guard gray men, serve plates of rattle, noise and concrete, death and beams, then pale sun stumbles through the poles of iron to warm the horror of gray guard men. It's jail and bail, then rails to run. Black night, the me, myself, of my sleeks and the folds and history of fear, to secret hold me deep and close my ears of lulls and clangs and memory of hate. Then night and sleep and dreams. It's jail and bail, then rails to run. Now, when I think of this particular poem, again called Poet Prisoner, I can't help but think about my latest pen pal, and he's actually a gentleman who is a prisoner, and he is serving time in Angola. And I've been writing to him probably for, I'd say, a couple of months at this particular point. And there's something that he said in one of his letters where he talked about freedom and what it would be like again to be free. And, of course, I've talked to him often about, you know, this price he's now serving for having lost his freedom. But it really makes one pause to say to themselves, well, I need to be more careful in regards to the way I'm living life and be more appreciative of my freedom as well as my opportunity. And when I wrote back after he talked about his freedom, I mentioned that we just take those two things in particular for granted. And so I think that that is certainly a very touching poem that Maya has put together. Now, the next two poems I'm going to read back to back, and they're rather long, but they are brilliantly written. And I'm sure the second one most of you have heard of. The first one is called Take Time Out. And when I first began doing this show, I read this particular poem. I think I read the second one too, but I love both of these, and I hope you will enjoy them. This first one, Take Time Out. When you see them on a freeway, hitching rides, wearing beads, with packs by their sides, you ought to ask, what's all the warring and the jarring and the killing and the thrilling all about? Take time out. When you see him with a band around his head and an army surplus bunk that makes his bed, you'd better ask, what's all the beating and the cheating and the bleeding and the needing all about? Take time out. When you see her walking barefoot in the rain and you know she's tripping on a one-way train, you need to ask, what's all the lying and the dying and the running and the gunning all about? Take time out. Use a minute, feel some sorrow for the folks who think tomorrow is a place that they can call up on the phone. Take a month and show some kindness for the folks who thought that blindness was an illness that affected eyes alone. If you know that youth is dying on the run and my daughter trades dope stories with your son, we'd better see what all our fearing and our jeering and our crying and our lying brought about. Take time out. The second poem that I wanted to read back to back before talking about both is called Phenomenal Woman. And no doubt all of you listening to this have heard this poem. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. when I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care. 'Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. That's me, and that's Maya. I tell you, you know, when I think about that first one, take time out, we are always so rushed, aren't we? I mean, we have our day-to-day things to do. Of course, we have our family situations to manage, but even as early as when I rose this morning and I watched the news about fights in downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue, about a killing in the Pullman area off 87th and King Drive, about I'd say 18 to 19 to 20-something-year-olds arrested after four people were killed robbing a store that sells cell phones. I think we need to slow down. I think we need to talk with our young people more. We need to talk to each other more, even as adults, and pause our own lives more often to see how can we help, what can we do. And I can remember growing up with my grandparents and how gracious they were to help others. And I see that in the different children that they've raised, where their kids try to help others, and I've tried to do the same. Where can I help others? What can I do, especially with our young people, the next generation? So I hope that in just reading Maya's poem a few minutes ago, it'll help inspire some of you to pause for a moment and see how you can give back to your community. And then the second work that I had read from that back-to-back series just now, Phenomenal Woman, it is like truly a blessed tribute to women, to our curves, to our personality, to our shape, to our spirit, and the way that our inner and our outer selves are, and even our flirtatious side and the way that we deal and work with the opposite sex and the way that we will try to entice with just the sway of our hips, the click of our heels, the smile, and everything else that Maya portrays. And what I love about her works is that she is always so on point. She's so keen into the lives of herself as well as others. And she can paint such a picture, draw such imagery, and give you such a story in the way that she puts her words together. And the bottom line that you find is that it is all about word choice when it comes to poets. I mean, when it comes to authors in general, but I think that when you are doing nonfiction and fiction, you have more wiggle room in there as opposed to poetry. Each word, every word counts for something and helps to explain where that poet is trying to go with what they are presenting. And I love to hear poets read their own poems themselves, because there's no way myself or I think others can do their own work justice, because there was a place, there was a time, a period in their life in which they were putting those words together that has a particular meaning, especially to them. And so I've never heard two people read a poem the same. I mean, we're pausing in different places when we read it, as opposed to the original poet that wrote it, for example. And to me, it just always comes out so much more awesome when the true author of that work reads it. So Maya, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you. There are two more works by Maya that I want to read, and the next one, no doubt, many of you listening to this have heard before, and the last one I'm going to read, you may not have heard, but I love the attitude in it, and I love the way that Maya put it together. So the first one I'm going to read is called Still I Rise. And I know those of you listening to this or anyone who's followed Maya has heard her say this poem. And what I love about her, too, is that she remembers so many of her poems just off the top of her head. And this is one that I've heard her recite in person, not in person, but I've seen her recite, let's say, on a television show without reading off a piece of paper. And I'm just amazed at poets like her where they can remember all that they've written. I'll put together a fiction book and I can remember the characters, but all those different storylines can be challenging. But she can remember line by line, word for word, her poems. And this is one that I've heard her read off before without paper. Still I Rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room, just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my hauntiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise. I Rise. Wow. To me, that poem is like magic. It is like a hug. It is like a push, a shove. It is like determination and revelation wrapped into one. And what it reminds me of is when I first began work in the 80s, in 1987 in particular, after finishing college. And affirmative action had really just kind of come about and kicked off. And so many were saying, you know, you're a double minority, being a woman and being a black person or an African American, as we're called today. And going into those doors and realizing that even being a double minority, that I've put the time in, that I truly have the knowledge to be successful. I just need the opportunity to show that. And despite all obstacles placed before me, even during the years of gaining that knowledge in college, I did rise. I rose. I'm still rising. And so I love the way that Maya has captivated an audience by putting together these words and giving examples of challenges and how one, no matter what race you are, no matter what background you've come from, no matter what situation or challenges you're going through, that bottom line, you can still make it. Now, this last poem I want to read is not one that I've heard, honestly, Maya recite in a public setting, but of course I haven't followed her entire life. She may have very well done so. It's called Ain't That Bad, and I like this one because it feels cuddly, cute, warm, intelligent. It's smooth, and it is sassy, and it's a great summary, I think, of sometimes the Black experience and the little attitude that surrounds our race sometimes. So I hope you like it. It's called Ain't That Bad. Dancing the funky chicken, eating ribs and tips, digging all the latest sounds, and drinking gin and sips. Putting down that do-rag, tightening up my fro, wrapping up in blackness, don't I shine and glow? Hearing Stevie Wonder, cooking beans and rice, going to the opera, checking out Leotine Price, getting down Jesse Jackson, dance on Alvin Ailey, talk Miss Barbara Jordan, groove Miss Pearly Bailey. Now ain't they bad, and ain't they black, and ain't they black, and ain't they bad, and ain't they bad, and ain't they black, and ain't they fine. Black like the hour of the night, when your love turns and wriggles close to your side. Black as the earth which has given birth to nations, and when all else is gone, will abide. Bad as the storm that leaps raging from the heavens, bringing the welcome rain. Bad as the sun burning orange hot at midday, lifting the waters again. Arthur Ashe on the tennis court, Muhammad Ali in the ring, Andre Watts and Andrew Young, black men doing their thing, dressing in purples and pinks and greens, exotic as rum and cokes, living our lives with flash and style. Ain't we colorful folks? Now ain't we bad, and ain't we black, and ain't we black, and ain't we bad, and ain't we bad, and ain't we black, and ain't we fine. I tell you, as I wrap up this show today, I am so gracious to have this book before me, and I love Maya Angelou and her beautiful works of poetry, and I hope you have enjoyed this rendition of Storytime and my reading of her works. Overall, I think she is a beautiful, spirited woman, and we are blessed to have her and see her in our lifetime. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to drop me an email anytime at mailtobanks@aol.com, spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, at aol.com. Follower of the show already, are you? If so, let your friends know that they should become one too, as well as a friend of the show. Also, the holidays are quickly approaching, especially the Christmas holiday and Hanukkah. So swing by Amazon.com and pick up a copy of my book and give it to your friends as gifts. I have 4 currently to choose from: Becoming a Published Author, Barrenhood, Surviving a Layoff, and Woman of Integrity. I want you all to take care, be blessed, and enjoy every day of life.